Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talking Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. We're hitting the beef pretty hard today, and we're not going to let up because I have proclaimed that beef is my favorite protein on the grill. There's a lot of things I love to grill, but none more than a great piece of beef. And there's a lot of different ways you can do it. Bob was just breaking down a brisket in the smoker. As I said, I have a little catering gig that wants me to do carved brisket at the end of the buffet line kind of thing. So we're going to pull that off. But
you know what you need to bring?
What's that?
A case of Better Made chips to go with that.
Yeah, that'd be good.
It would.
Yeah, chips and brisket.
I had some by the fire last night with a nice can of Oberon, and it was pretty wonderful.
Yeah, yes. Right. Beer and chips? Come on. How can that go wrong?
This time of year, Oberon just hits this. It's so easy. It's a go-to.
Yeah.
Such a good beer.
Yeah. But so I wanted to talk a little bit about using a rotisserie. I have a grill that is made out of stainless steel, just welded up box. But I only, and it's got a coal bed that I can raise and lower to get closer to the rotisserie or farther away. And I use that grill almost exclusively for rotisserie meats because I've got a big old 5/8 octagon rod on that thing, and it's 4 foot long, right? And you can put a big old chunk of meat on that rotisserie.
Can you put a hog on it?
I've not tried. I bet you could put one of those little suckling hogs on it. It's not quite that big for a whole hog, but the bar says it'll hold 125 pounds when I bought it, and it's a big, huge motor on there to turn it and so on. But anyway, one of the things I like to do on there are rump roasts, right? And it's just a big chunk of beef. You heard Tim talk about the sirloin, but there's this rump roast off the hind quarter of a cow, and you can buy them in different sizes.
What do you prep that with?
What? Again, the salt, pepper, and garlic.
You're not going to inject it?
No, I'm not, because what I'm going to do is slice it thin when I'm done. And use it as lunch meat. I'm not cutting it like a chunk of steak to put on your grill. But the point is when you set up this rotisserie, it's offset cooking. You don't want the meat on top of the fire. You want it beside the fire because it will drip. As it cooks and it renders, it will drip. And when it drips, you get flare-ups, and then you're going to get a burn. And this grill that I have is wide enough that the rotisserie is over the middle. I can build a fire on the front and the back of the grill chamber. And I actually put a pan down there to catch the drippings inside. And then there's coals on left and right.
And you could reuse
pan.
Those.
That's exactly what I do. You use it for gravies or sauces or whatever it may be.
Rumor has it that I actually own part of this grill. Will I ever get to be able to use it?
You might be able to come over and watch. That's it. That's all. Don't tell me about the things that our sponsors send you that I find out about like a year later. Oh, we got one of those? Yeah. I perfected it, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
Okay. So you could actually have a custom-made pan for that thing.
Yeah.
I'll get you one made if you want.
Yeah, and I don't yet. Stainless. I just use a regular serving pan, the aluminum ones.
Even several bread tins would work for it.
Yep.
Because they're long.
Because all I'm trying to do is catch the drippings,
right.
And then
you
can use
to.
Them. Right. Yeah. You can use them over. And it keeps your grill from getting all messed up as well. I mean, you don't want grease in the bottom of your grill.
Isn't that a dry piece of meat when you're done with it?
A little bit if you overcook it, but again, it's the temperature. I'm only bringing it to 125 or 130 internal temperature.
Why don't you do a loin on it?
Well, you could. Loins are just lean, and that rump roast is a little bit lean, but the loins are pretty lean. You got to watch them to make sure you don't overcook them. But you absolutely, the rotisserie grill that we have, the portable one that we bring to tailgates. We've done loin on there as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the key to putting a piece of loin on the rotisserie is you've really got to clamp down the tongs, the forks that go into that, because it's softer meat with it being a loin.
It spins.
And it spins on you, and then you don't get an even cook. So you got to be pretty careful when you put the loin on there with the two forks that come in from either end. And I've got... I've seen people do it. I've not done it, where you can take a piece of chicken wire and wrap that around the loin and then put your forks into the chicken wire, then it won't spin on you because the forks are in the wire if you wanted to. But that's a little bit overdone.
Yeah, because everybody wants zinc and titanium plating on their
meat.
Yeah. It's galvanized.
Yeah, right.
No. No, don't do that. Okay. So there's another nice piece of meat you can do something like that with, and I'm going to just offset grill this, and they call it the eye of round. You see it in supermarkets all the time now because they're trying to make a fancy piece. It's really a cheap piece of meat, and you can find it on sale for $4.99, $6.99 a pound or whatever. It looks like an eel. It's just a long tube. It's supposed to look like a fillet, but it's not. It's a tougher piece of meat. It's what they make round steak out of. Typically, you would cut that into thin steaks, and a butcher is going to run that through his tenderizer, and then they call it Swiss steak.
Right.
So, but what I'm going to do with it this time
is... Which is good, by the way.
Yeah,
the
it
is.
But
really
you, again, it's something you have to slow cook
right.
and simmer. So I'm going to take this eye of round and season it and offset grill it. So I'm going to kind of offset it or smoke it for a couple of hours and get that up to, maybe 120 internal temperature. And I'm going to pull that off, and maybe a 125. I'm going to pull it off, and if it's on a spit, take it off the spit. And then I'm going to roll it across the grill and sear it up nice on the outside. And I'm going to then baste it and wrap it and park it. And I'm going to let that thing cool down, and I'm going to slice that into a wonderful lunch meat.
No.
If you're cutting against the grain, and you cut it just with very, very thin slices against the grain, and that makes for a wonderful beef sandwich.
Right.
It's a little horseradish, a piece of whatever you want, piece of cheese, French dip, whatever you want to make shaved roast beef out of. It's an affordable piece. And there's no fat on it. It's very lean, very healthy.
That sounds like a man sandwich.
It's a nice piece.
It's time for some man law. Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
Today's man law is really for you single fellas out there. I guess a married guy hanging out with a single fella, it would apply to. Today's man law is thou shalt not inhibit another man's game.
That's right. You're a wingman. You're not an inhibitor.
Don't be hating.
Right. So, Bob, another thing that you taught me early on when we first got together on this show was how to make jerky. And you opened my eyes to using a piece of chuck roast.
Beautiful stuff.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I like it better than venison.
Right, yeah. So, and people are like, chuck roast, give it a run.
Yeah.
But tell us how to do that, because it's smoking a chuck roast either in little pieces to make a jerky or in a big piece.
I would tell you to start off with, try just smoking a chuck roast whole, because that is so rewarding and so tasty. And it's easier than a brisket. Why? Because it's a little more tender. It's not a brisket. Briskets are tough. There's a technique there. Anybody can smoke a chuck roast. You literally just salt and pepper it, garlic, put some fresh garlic on there, and whatever spices you want, but don't overdo it. It's chuck. It's chuck full of flavor.
Right.
That's why they say chuck full of flavor.
Right.
and then smoke that bad boy at about 275 or 300. Light smoke, don't throw a bunch of smoke at it, especially if you want the ladies in the house to love
say,
it.
Let the meat do the work.
A lot of people don't care for smoke, particularly the fairer of the sexes. Not big on heavy smoke. So I'm going to do that thing at 275 to 3 1/4, probably not even put much flavor wood on, and I'm going to let it run for 4 to 5 hours, and I'm going to run that temperature up to 195.
Okay, just like a brisket.
Yep.
Yep.
And what I'm going to do with this chuck is I'm going to also trim some fat off it before I smoke it.
Okay. Yep, because a little bit of fat adds a lot of flavor. A lot of fat creates a mouthfeel that is no good.
Yeah, and a little bit of fat, where I want the fat is in marble. I don't want fat on the outside. Because with that fat on the outside of a steak or a piece of meat, there comes like a hard piece of cartilage-type fiber that nobody wants to chew on.
Right. Yeah. It's just not a good thing. But
connective tissue.
Coming up next, we're going to finish your queue here with a little tri-tip technique. This is an interesting piece of meat. Bob is in love with this piece of beef, and he's going to tell you why. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Texas. You know he knows just exactly what the